This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
By the way, announcement. 8:30.
That was it.
8:30 tomorrow. In studio. Kevin Stefanski.
Good friend of the show. Head coach. 2-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski.
Will he bring the awards in with him?
Hey, I'm Cruton.
Like he has the heavyweight belt and the Intercontinental Championship at the same time.
I'm Cruton for Streetsboro football, you know me.
You're gonna have him make a video?
Nah, I shouldn't do that, should I? I was going to ask you if I should,
Who's made a video so far?
Browns player you know make one.
Wyatt got me one. Wyatt's great, man. What a guy.
He was in the woods, right?
Yeah, he's in the woods.
I didn't hear it, but I saw him in the woods.
I'm sure there had to be some dead animal at his feet, which was fantastic. Wyatt, Rodney, Joe, that's all I asked.
Bernie!
Shut up! Oh. It's coming out soon.
Crud. Bernie, my father-in-law, Bernie.
I was going to say, I got another one up.
You should probably know what you're talking about.
I am, because I know there's Steelers fans in my community. I am working on one. I'm trying. We'll see.
Did you get Zastadil?
He's in another community.
I know.
But doesn't he do stuff with that community?
It's not like you're stealing dudes from 45 minutes away.
Yeah, but if they see it in the other community, like, why aren't you doing it in our community? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, if only he knew someone that lived in that community.
People get odd about that stuff, man.
That for him.
Just saying, like, Joe lives up in Wisconsin. I don't care about the people up in Wisconsin. I'm sure there's nice people up there, but I don't care about their youth football. All right, can I just say this real quick? So I said, I'm rooting for Shador. Real Xavier P on Twitter. Twitter action is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Man, Ken isn't cheering for Shador. He's cheering against Watson. He's more likable once you realize the perception isn't reality. Listen, I liked Shador before. I like Shador now. I am rooting for Shador. It's not because I'm cheering against Watson. I don't need to cheer against Watson. I don't take him seriously as a quarterback anymore. Why do I need to, as a viable option for the Browns, why do I need to cheer against a guy like
Judy
that?
Judy does. He's playing catch with him.
Well, you could play catch with anybody. My dad smoked like a chimney back in the day. He played catch with me. He wasn't going to play quarterback for the Browns.
I thought you were going to say he'll smoke with anybody.
Were you the leading wide receiver for your team?
No. Okay. But I'm just saying, you can play catch with anybody.
Maybe play with the guy that you think's going to be the starting quarterback.
I'm sure they played catch together. He and Shador Sanders or Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel.
Do they all get equal time?
I can't just keep saying these names every single time. It's like the Aqua Teen Hunger Force Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I can't keep saying these names. Can we find a nickname for the four quarterbacks that are viable for this quarter, vying for this quarterback
job? Some say five. Some say you can't put a restriction on
one of those people
Deshaun
is Mary Kay Cabot, who has been on our show and says it all the time.
But no, he's not vying to be the week one starter. He ain't vying to be the week one starter. The issue about the Watson stuff, I'm cheering against not talking about him. That's what I'm cheering against. But if she reports that, it's like, okay, I have a duty to talk about it. Yeah, I can't just sit there and avoid everything. So that's what I'm cheering against. I'm cheering for Shador Sanders. You know why I'm cheering for Shador Sanders? I'd like to use those two first-round picks on something else. I'd like my one of my favorite football players ever, his son, to be a great player for the Cleveland Browns. Yes, there is some fanboy in that. Yes. He's got things that he has to overcome, certainly. Yeah, why wouldn't I root for Shador Sanders? Why wouldn't I want Shador Sanders to do well? Or Dylan Gabriel, for that matter. I know Lima just doesn't think anything of him, but I want one of them to do well. And Kenny, I mean, begrudgingly. It is what it is. And maybe he'll be a surprise. Maybe I'll wake up with my face sewn to the carpet. One of those things. But yeah, that's just where I stand on that. I root for not having to talk about QBs that aren't going to be part of the future. Dylan Gabriel, whether Lima likes it or not, is in the running to be a part of the future. And sure as hell, Shador Sanders is too. That's what I root for. More than likely, we're going to have to use those two first-round picks on a quarterback next year. I'm not trying to lie to you. I ain't trying to be stupid. I know what the score is. But maybe one day, the sun shines on the dog's ass, and all of a sudden, we got that guy, that great story of the guy that came out of nowhere. We get our very own version of the guy who nobody thought was going to be good, who ends up being good. Or we'll go back to the drawing board, like we more than likely will. 216-474-0092. Joe Orsarski is going to join us coming up at 9:22 this morning. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will have him on for a couple of minutes. Does everybody else think as highly of Evan Mobley as we do? That's all coming up. Let me get to the phones here. You say divisions don't matter, but let me twist this for a second. You say divisions don't matter, but with the one twist here, Tone, you want to bring up what about these divisions? Because for a second, you kind of buttressed up against a conversation there that I kind of liked about. What about making the divisions bigger? I'm up for expanding. Like, if you want to cut it down to three or two divisions and you play more of those teams,
fine. You mean two divisions in each conference, so we're at four divisions.
If you wanted to do that, how many teams are in each conference?
What I was thinking
16.
Yeah, what I was thinking...
So, 2 8-team divisions.
So you play 16 games against two divisions.
If we're staying at 14 in the playoffs, you'd go top three in each division and then one wild card, whoever the fourth is.
Can't you do three divisions?
Yeah, I know that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I'd like to have three divisions.
Scheduling-wise, with 18 games, though, that really screws things up.
I know. It does.
Well, it's all going to be screwed up anyway. And right now, they've just, in tacking on an extra game, they just said, all right, there's going to be one other crossover game that will add. Some seasons you'll have eight home games. Some seasons you'll have nine, right? That's what they've done to get to 17 games. So they've already taken the precision out of it. It's just you have the same schedule as everybody in your division, and you have the same math of everybody in your conference for the most part. But I don't know that that's even that necessary. The more you expand the season and go to 18 games, I think we just throw our hands up in the air and say the schedules aren't going to be equal.
But well, that's what they did in college football, too. I mean, when we were kids, it was 10 teams are in a conference, and that's it. And then, you know, we went to 14 teams in a conference, and you don't get to play the same guys that you always used to play.
Yeah.
And it is going to suck the first year or two, and then we'll get used to it.
It is going to be different. I just know that in sports, and this is kind of unfortunate, honestly. I would say, Ken, this kind of backs your argument a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In sports in general, we have all decided as fans, we're just going to argue about championships. That's what's going to matter the most. If you don't get to the Super Bowl, then we're going to make fun of you, even if you win the MVP. We're going to make fun of Lamar Jackson. We're going to make fun of Josh Allen, even though they're amazing, and we would do anything we could to get those guys as our quarterbacks. But that's just, that's the debate culture. That's where we're at as fans. But has he gotten to the Super Bowl? And then when you do, has he won the Super Bowl? Well, he's won one. Well, has he won back-to-back Super Bowls? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have lessened the value in everyday conversation anyway of what it means to win a division. Because in the end, like, even if, like, let's say we had Baker Mayfield and he's winning the AFC North for the first time. All right, that first time, it'll be amazing. After that, it's going to be like, all right, but what about the playoffs? Like, what are you doing in the playoffs? Where are your achievements in the playoffs? So I just don't know that today's sports culture in general cares as much about divisions.
Which bothers me because as a person,
I know
I'm one of the sad minority of I'm a fan of a team that hasn't won a division since 1989. If I grew up in Pittsburgh, if I grew up in Baltimore, if I grew up in, but now it's got to be Kansas City. The other one's like, that's old hat. If you were Pittsburgh, how many divisions has Pittsburgh won since we've all been around? Probably a bunch. 15? Since 99. Yeah.
Between them and Baltimore.
It's kind of old hat. I'd love to win a division. Like, we would celebrate. I'd probably bring in drinks in here if we won a division. I don't think I could talk about that on the air. I think we'd be boozing in here if we won a division. I'm dead ass about that. By the way, do I need to get rid of that? That's saying?
Dead ass?
Yeah. I got it from the Let Me Be Dead Ass With You Brother meme on social media. Sounds like I got to get rid of it. Yeah, I'm getting rid of it. Sorry. Nick in Cleveland, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Dennis, dead ass. I'm 28. Lima, under 30. You're kind of an idiot, Lima. Normally, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Where this is going.
But, you know, here's the thing. What is Baskin talking about? Why is he talking shit with you, Ken?
Whoa!
Nick!
Ken, all right. Sorry, I'll table that. I'll call tomorrow.
But you still can't say that word tomorrow. We don't get a free cussing Friday.
Call it 48 minutes.
My bad, fam. So here's the thing. Divisions are actually very important. I think the NFL has made it unique that we care about the divisions.
All right.
Nobody, you know, Lima, you were saying, well, there's only three other teams that you beat. Who gives a crap? You know, really, who gives a crap? I love talking to my white trash neighbors down in Cincinnati. I love talking to the white trash neighbors in Pittsburgh. And I really hate the team that we should be in Baltimore, especially their fans, because they don't give a crap about the history and why they got them, even though their team left first, you know, and it should matter to them. But the problem is that we don't care that the Indians play four or five teams. We don't care that the Cavs are in four or five teams in the division. They don't matter. But in the NFL, the culture, the rivalry, everything that matters, you know, think of Joe Hayden being traded to Pittsburgh, how PO'd everybody was a few years ago, because that was our guy. I just think that divisions are unique. And Lima, you said, God, all September, how the rivalries don't mean anything in the Big Ten anymore. This is different. It's just a very slippery wizard.
I think you're right. Because let me tell you this, Nick. Let me say this, and thank you very much for the call and backing me up on this. And I know we got to get going here. If you take away the divisions, you know damn well, like the whole, remember the Thanksgiving argument years ago? Now the Lions are good. No one thinks about it. Like, should the Lions be hosting on Thanksgiving?
I wanted them off.
And I think when you mess with these sort of things, it's only a matter of time. Like, oh my God, we only got one technically big game, and that's 9:30 in the morning in London. You know, there'd be a matter of time. Okay. Yeah. Pittsburgh, you guys play them twice a year. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey man, we got TV ratings to deal with and there's no divisions anymore. And we decided to put Pittsburgh up against Kansas City this year. And you're only going to play Pittsburgh once. It only takes a minute to erode that. They'll do anything for ratings. They'll do anything for ratings. Hey, we gave them another London game, and you guys are only going to play Baltimore once.
But what,
you don't want to do that.
I know we got to go. What Nick just said, I do think that is true for a lot of people here, even though we haven't won the division in so long. Do you think that's true throughout the NFL? Do they care? Because Baltimore was the Browns, so I understand why there's that. Cincinnati, well, that goes without saying. Two teams in Ohio, same colors. We know the heritage. We know about Paul Brown. That's just not happening elsewhere. And obviously, Pittsburgh, Cleveland is the same type of a city. You know,
I understand.
So is that the case everywhere else? Do people care about the divisions all around the
divisions?
The NFL?
The divisions protect our traditions that we like. I cannot leave it up to the NFL to protect our traditions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I didn't realize it was picking up as much steam as it was because nobody's yelled at us. I did think it was a pie in the sky idea, but if you're telling me that scouts and everybody are thinking about it, then all right, like scratch that itch then, Tone. Tell me more about it. Tell me more about all this.
Well,
Evan Mobley and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm salivating as I always tend to do, and this is what gets me in trouble with fans is I get very aggressive, and that didn't work out so well for the Deshaun Watson move. But you know, the team actually agreed with me and they made that move and then it didn't work out.
More on that case, coming up in moments.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Unfortunately.
You're going to love that transition. In this case, look, Evan Mobley, I have been thrilled about watching him every time he takes the floor, because I keep saying, I see him do something new. It's a matter of time. I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't know if Evan Mobley in the next 2 years is going to be playing at such a high level that we're not going to have to worry about Donovan Mitchell and his player option in that third year. But what I do know is Giannis over the next 2 years, I mean, not only do they have a chance to win the championship, I mean, I think they could be the favorites. That's how much of a game changer. Like I literally put it up there right when LeBron came home. We didn't know Golden State was going to be that immediately, but what did we say when LeBron came home? They're the favorites. It didn't end up being the case. We did win one championship, you know, that 2 years later. But in this case, I do think, given the landscape of the NBA, if you had Giannis with Donovan Mitchell, and yeah, I do think Darius Garland would be in a perfect role, as much heat as he's taken and all that. I do think on the margins, like, they wouldn't have a ton they would need to do as long as they're healthy.
Do you think, though, like, going back to what Danny Cunningham said to us yesterday, like, what would that do as far as decimating the rest of their roster?
Yeah, because, that's, you know, fair question.
Kenny Atkinson likes to be deep. Now, listen, like, Giannis is Giannis, so let's not get too crazy with this. But it is, you got to have other guys that are able to go into the basketball game. I mean, you got to have at least during the postseason, I would like you to be 7 to 8 deep.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to just be playing, you know, 5-6 guys, because it is tough to make it to the end, especially because we've seen Donovan Mitchell limping at the end and just giving it his all. Maybe this does take some of the pressure off of him in that regard. So it is a consideration. Like, you're gutting your team a little bit to make that happen. But at the same time, like, if you do run it back, how much faith do people have that this Cavs team, when everybody's talking about how you're not tough enough, even your own team, that's not a media thing. Mm-hmm. That's a Kenny Atkinson thing.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Max Strus thing. Max Strus was talking about it. So Donovan Mitchell talked about it. Like, it's fair game now, guys. It's fair game. The rest of the league is talking about it. Is that magically going to change? I'll tell you, if you bring Giannis in, there's nobody's questioning toughness. Like, Giannis, one of the rare birds that he doesn't get very far in the playoffs and nobody blames him.
Guys, I'm not in any hurry to trade Evan for just anybody. This is Giannis, though. And I think that we have to say, what have we always been hoping that Evan's going to be? Giannis. Giannis is already him. So if I can make that move.
And will be for the next few years.
And by the way, if Evan goes on and becomes Giannis in the next few years, great.
Great.
I wish him very well. And I'll be glad that I was right, or we were all right about him becoming Giannis. But you kind of have, we're in a mode now where you have to strike where the iron's hot. And I understand that you will be upset. Some folks will be upset, especially if they didn't make the move and they didn't get him, or they didn't get a championship, that if Evan Mobley did become Giannis and then we're watching Giannis while this team is starting to break apart and we're starting to start this all over again, I think some people would be very upset with that, obviously. But I have to look at it and say, this might be a chance where you can strike while the iron's hot. I definitely think they should be in conversation with each other. I don't know for sure, just like I hate to say it, but I knew for sure that there were conversations back in October. I cannot believe we're doing this again. October 2021, we knew that there were definitely people scratching around down there in Houston. I didn't listen to Albert Breer yesterday, and I don't like to admit such things. I didn't get a chance to hear him. And then I looked at the cut sheet today and I went, what effing year are we in? Here's Albert Breer. This is recent. This is yesterday.
This is yesterday.
Not 2022 or 2023.
I'm talking about yesterday.
All right. Fire away on clip one.
I think there's a possibility that he comes back and he's cleared in time to play a good chunk of the 2025 season. And I think he knows what's on the line, too. So it'll be interesting to see if he's got a different Deshaun, because they absolutely have done a completely different approach in how they built the quarterback room. And maybe you get a different Deshaun than, you know, versus like a year ago where you were sort of building the room to support him. You're not doing that at all anymore. And maybe he takes that as a challenge, and maybe we see a different version of Deshaun whenever he's cleared.
Okay, that's the first time I heard that. Fire away on clip two.
You know, I do know this. When you put four quarterbacks in that room, when you draft two in the first five rounds, you're throwing every dart you possibly can to try to get it right. If all of a sudden that Deshaun that you traded for, that Deshaun that played 2020 at the level he did, 2019 at the level that he did, if all of a sudden there's a glimpse that he could be back, well, it would be foolish not to at least consider it based on everything that the Browns have already gone through, all the money they've already spent, and the position all of those guys are in. So I think you kind of have to approach it now, like, if you're the Browns, like, this is like a no-lose situation. Like we already have sort of chalked this up as a sunk cost and one of the biggest sunk costs in NFL history. So if somehow this turns itself around, it'd be silly not to at least consider that.
It'd be silly to not consider
it. I'm kind of blown away. I'll be honest, especially coming from Albert.
It is silly.
I am blown away.
It is silly. It is silly.
So who is telling him that?
I don't know.
Somebody in the building's telling him that.
I don't know.
Who is still on the Deshaun?
Don't say that.
Who is still on Team Deshaun in that building?
I don't know. I know Mary Kay joins us tomorrow at 8:22. Fine, go ahead. Fire away, Mary Kay.
Deshaun is absolutely invested and committed in being here. And I thought that was interesting. The rhetoric that we're getting on this whole thing, except for when Jimmy Haslam said that it was a big swing and a miss, the door is left open a crack that, you know, maybe, just maybe, it's not 100% over yet for him here.
He was not, here's the thing, he's not invested in being here. Nobody saw him last year. After he got surgery,
but what
he
about
was
the
gone.
New videos, Anthony?
He didn't support his teammates. He wasn't around.
I'm going to tell you right now.
He was
all of April.
He wasn't doing what Dak Prescott did in Dallas, where he was doing everything it took on crutches to get to games.
But in March, he did the ropes thing in Berea.
Stop being taken in by this. And I'm not even talking to the listeners. The listeners know. You know. Stop being taken in by this. Guys, he doesn't want to be here, just like you don't want him here. And if he gets a chance and he can show he can play, because honestly, if it ends right now, is he ever playing again in the NFL? Do you believe he's ever playing again in the NFL, Anthony? Owen, Mitch, get your mics on. Get your mics on right now. Do you guys believe he's ever playing again in the NFL? Owen?
Not until yesterday when I heard Albert Breer.
But before that, if he doesn't play, this year,
now my answer is he's going to play somewhere.
Mitch, do you believe that?
I do not.
Okay, Lima, do you believe that? No. Four out of four people on this show do not believe. Jeff's right behind you. I'm sure Jeff is number five as well. So he would never take a snap again in the NFL. Don't fall for this.
Jeff's mic's on.
Because he's just going to use you as best he can to show that he has something, and then he's out of here on the first thing smoking. It's a guaranteed contract. The only thing that this guy wants, the only thing, is a chance somewhere else at a place that is not Cleveland. He don't want to be here. Stop being taken in by this.
He can't.
And I'm not even talking to the fans because the fans aren't taken in by it.
He can't realistically be in the plans. Like, what would have to happen for him to ever set foot as a Cleveland Brown?
Keith said, by the way, Keith, you left something out. Someone in the organization said Deshaun is committed to be there. No, you said that right at the beginning. So who told her? Who's talking about this?
And are they only doing it to fulfill some kind of insurance?
I hope.
Like, this is part of the cap relief that the Browns get.
What do you mean, an insurance investigation in which they go,
guys,
you didn't mean to bring him back? And they go, no, we did.
This is why I get so excited about Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, guys. This right here. Because I'm telling you right now, I will wear a tuxedo and carry around the watches that Shedeur Sanders has. I'll be like a valet in the WWE and open up all the watches and let him select one before a game. Then do any of the stuff that we've had to do over the last 3 years. This is fun. That wasn't fun. Talking about this guy is not fun. The possibility that he's coming back? What? For what?
Yeah, this entire city is counting down the days till he's never here again.
For what?
You're not going to restart that clock.
For what?
Then why is someone in the building saying it?
That's what I'll never understand. The only thing I can think of is they have to cover their bases to make sure that they can get out of this free and clear and save the most amount of money on the cap.
Shedeur, I'm begging you. Shedeur, please. Please. I know you're not listening. Your father's one of my all-time idols. I'm begging you, please. Please, please, please. Dylan Gabriel, please. Please,
any
please,
of them.
Please.
Yeah.
I need, no offense to Joe Flacco, I need a young guy to grab onto this thing and to not relinquish it this year. To not relinquish it this year. Because before, I didn't think that was anything realistic at all. If you're telling me that this is realistic, okay, well, good luck. He don't want to be here. The fans don't want him here. He don't want to be here. Fans are more than happy to move on. And I think he's more than happy to move on. The only reason he would be out there is to try to put something on tape going, hey, I'm still healthy enough to play somewhere else. That's it. I don't. Oh my God. boy. All right. Fine. The more the merrier. When you have four quarterbacks, why not five? When you have five quarterbacks, maybe you have none. You got anything more on that?
I think we're good.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Getting a lot of responses here. Porter O'Shea, this is great. Twitter reactions brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Ken, the Browns don't have a depth chart. It's a pitching rotation at QB. Who's the ace? He wrote Kenny, Flacco, Sanders, Gabriel, Watson. He's got Watson in there.
I kind of like that, the pitching rotation.
I'd rather have Eric Plunk. At quarterback for the Browns.
Yeah.
216-474-0092. All right, let me get to Ed in Bay Village, and then I got to ask you who I should be rooting for. Hello, Ed.
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going?
Not terrible. Oh, goodness. Congratulations on all your success. Yeah. I forgot I was taking a call from Bay Village. I apologize.
Except, Ed, we're dealing with the midges. They are out of control right now.
They are actually a sign of a healthy Lake Erie, so enjoy that.
Tone. Wow, okay. Take that, Tony. You don't know nothing.
Okay, like a healthy lake.
You're never going to be doing a podcast for the EPA.
Our midges are successful. That's how successful we are.
That's incredible, yes. Well done.
So I'd like to look at this question about their perception and what round from a different perspective. If we go back to being in the first round, Browns make the trade. We're on the clock at the fifth pick, and it's announced that the Browns select Sanders. What are we saying today? Basically, I think you guys, us all, there'll be some people saying we overdrafted him a little bit, whatever, let's go. He's a good, you know, it's a good pick. There'll be a lot of positivity about it.
Yeah.
Some detractors. we're on the clock at 5, right? And the Browns select Dillon Gabriel. What the hell are we all saying today?
They'd probably compare him to Mike Junkin. Wasn't he taking 5th overall? Something like that? I got to look that up. Go ahead.
It'd be a train wreck.
Yeah.
So Dillon Gabriel in the 3rd round is looked as if he's overdrafted. Sanders in the 5th round is at questions of why he fell. I think Sanders is looked at a value pick, is definitely the leader in the clubhouse of those two, and just a matter of time before he goes in, and then you just let the chips fall where they may. I see Flacco starting a few games. I'd love that. I've said that earlier. Mm-hmm. Pickett, I think you could dump Pickett and probably end up with, putting in what you got for him or what you gave up for him.
I think that's you and me. I think we're all trying to look at it and go, I think we're trying to gauge what the Browns want. I mean, they did trade a 5th-round pick for Kenny Pickett. There's something about – and 5th-round picks aren't much. I know that, Ed, but there's something they like about him. There's something they like about the guy. They could have went out and gotten Tanner McKee.
They gave up a couple picks to go use a 5th-round pick on Sanders. So about him. I mean, I just think perception-wise – Sanders is the leader in the clubhouse, and the way we would look at that, if he was taken in the 1st round, would be like he's a 1st round pick with a 1st round talent. Like we would be justifying.
I gotta agree. You hit on something that I'm gonna have to get past as a psychological barrier because he's right. If they just simply took him at 2 or 5 or whatever, I'd be nervous, but I would be a lot more excited, right? So the stigma of him dropping to the 5th. For some reason, I can't get it out of my head that I feel like all these other teams in the league, including the Browns, just don't think he's very good. And I got to get it out of my head because the Browns eventually took him.
Yeah, but there's also, let me tell you this. We are so used to getting defensive over our quarterbacks that we draft. This is totally different. I mean, you hear Shady McCoy speaking up for this guy. How many people have spoken up for Shador Sanders here over the last couple of weeks? If he were taking a number 2 overall, I'd be like, man, you guys overdrafted this guy.
Right.
And all the stories, the Giants and all that stuff be going, you guys sat there and drafted this guy after all this was said. It's like, no, they didn't. And now it becomes a redemption, prove them wrong type of thing instead of what we're used to. Gosh, you overdrafted this clown. What are you thinking? And I got to tell you, it's nice. It's nice. It's made me root for him even harder. Not from my usual, as Browns quarterback, I hope he does well. Yeah, I can say that about anybody. It's like, no, I really want him to do well. 216-474-0092, Demos and Shaker, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning. So, hi. Kenny, as soon as we drafted Sanders, my thought was like, oh, Kenny Pickett is just going to be trade bait because, as long as Dillon and Sanders – pan out like as if they're going to be pro quarterback someday. You let Flacco start, you see how the other two progress, but by then Kenny Pickett, some other team is already going to be desperate for him. And the whole notion of like I actually agree with Stefanski about 3rd or 5th. Who cares at this point? Because if you look back in the history of the NFL, there have been players that have been drafted lower and done it. So who really cares at this point? If you feel you drafted them because you can bring those two along and both might be ready, having two young quarterbacks of slightly different styles here, I'm happy about the whole notion of being able to use Kenny Pickett as trade bait.
So you would be I think that with Kenny Pickett, didn't the afternoon guys bring this up on Monday? I think we kind of saddled into this by accident here, Demos. Thank you very much for the call. Something about if you could get more for Kenny Pickett, would you make that trade a la Joe Flacco? Which I'm like, both are like 5th, 6th, 7th round picks if you're making a trade. Both of those guys. Because you're turning right around and making a trade for a guy you just traded for who is on his 3rd team in the NFL. And then there's Joe Flacco, who's doing it for the love of the game and the paycheck and the $4 million. And hoping that maybe he can have some more fun here with the Cleveland Browns. Isn't that what it is? So I don't know what you're getting out of either one of those guys. I just would feel that they made the move for Kenny Pickett. I'm willing to bet that they are much more emotionally tied to Kenny Pickett and believing that he can be a good quarterback than what we want to think that they are. More on that coming up in a bit. Who should I be rooting for tonight? Should I be rooting for Indiana or should I be rooting for the Knicks? I'm a little bit torn here.
Boy, I've struggled with it. I think Indiana, I think they're a little more fun to watch.
Does Indiana going further make the Cavs look better?
Oof.
Or if you're a person that get ready to pull out the bowls here and fire up. Or if you're a person that wants moves being made by the Cavs, if Indiana goes out there and gets trounced, it's like, dude, you got beat by a fraud. You got beat down by a fraud. Maybe it's time we make some moves. If you're a person who wants to make moves, I hand it right there for you. I hand it right there.
Yeah, so the Pacers have been now to the Eastern Conference Finals twice in a row. They made that Siakam move a couple of years ago, and boom, two consecutive Eastern Conference Finals when nobody had Indiana in this position this late in the year. It's crazy. Remember, it was just a few years ago, the Cavs were considered the brightest up-and-coming team. I remember ESPN had a whole discussion about it, and everybody agreed. They're like, yes, it's the Cavs. The Cavs, it's their future. And then Pacers make one move, and they're ahead of us, even though we were better than them in the regular season. So that's the first part of this. The East, as we know, looking forward, looks to be very, very wide open. So does it make me feel better if the Pacers end up being really good and then look good in the NBA Finals? Probably a little bit. Probably a little bit, because that series was there for us. I mean, you just get the ball inbounds, you box out or get a lane violation call, you win game two. They shot out of your you-know-whats in the first game. We never shot well the entire series. Can you imagine if we would have gotten anything normal?
Yeah.
Out of a healthy Darius Garland. So all of a sudden, you're not that far away whatsoever. If the Pacers win this series and then look good, probably in defeat, but look good in the NBA Finals.
So it makes you look better as a basketball team.
Yeah, maybe it does a little bit. Still doesn't mean I'm just running it back no matter what.
Well, I still got people in my mentions wanting to run it back no matter what. And I think that maybe Indiana might be able to calm some people down. If Indiana went out there and played really well, if they got trounced, I think that some people would be like, we got to get Giannis because these guys are way too soft if the Pacers become too soft for the Knicks.
Yeah, and don't forget, like, the Pacers were never considered that tough of a basketball team. That's been a storyline that really emerged after they beat us. Going into that series, I did not hear any of the national talking heads say, how are the Cavs going to handle the Pacers and their brutality? No, you never heard that.
I thought we talked about it, though.
Not a ton. Like, we did say Mathurin was a instigator. But all of a sudden, Nesmith and Nembhard, Obi Toppin off the bench. You know, McConnell is a scrappy player, but I didn't think he'd outplay Garland and Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
Like, so I think we're jumping to some conclusions right now
Who are you voting for? Who are you rooting for?
Yeah, I said I'd probably root for the Pacers. And I do think they're more entertaining. Like, I watched last night. I didn't find that game to be all that entertaining, even when it was close. So the Pacers play an entertaining brand of basketball. They press full court. I mean, I haven't seen that since the old Rick Pitino Kentucky days. So that's fun to watch. You don't see that in the NBA at all.
They should slap the floor on defense.
Yeah, well, McConnell. I can see McConnell doing that.
Yes, you could. I know a lot of Knicks fans, but I also know that Knicks fans are Yankee fans. Are people are going to be watching this game? I think they will. Are they going to be watching this series? I think they will. I think there's an emotional tie to pull again. Man, do I got to really hope for the Pacers to win? They feel like the little guy. It's a smaller market, certainly. You know what? Can't believe I'm saying this. I guess I want the team that beat me to win. I guess I want the Pacers to win. I know a lot of Knicks fans, but I think that the other Knicks fans that I know, I think that I don't know, I think they'll be insufferable, and I don't like them.
About Halliburton at MSG? I mean, you saw he hits a game winner in our house, which changed the entire complexion of the series.
Yes.
He has a moment like that at MSG. What does that do to him? That propels him big time.
That's very true. Audio courtesy of TNT. Where's Mitch going? He wanted to argue about something. Now he wants to run off. What are you doing? Yeah, you're the one who had the great big take, buddy boy.
I didn't know we were doing the opening segment.
We said the opening segment.
They said stay in here.
No, you know what happened.
I chose not to hear that.
I don't know what they said. And yeah, he got scared.
I chose not to hear that.
He gets scared. He gets nervous. What am I scared and
of?
Ran off.
What am I scared of? My takes?
It sounds like it for a second there because we were watching this, and I ain't gonna lie to you. They were up by like 14, and I was like, night night. And I just went to bed.
What was 9 with 58 seconds left?
Well, I didn't know that. I just rolled over and laid down. And so I woke up and went, holy Toledo. Boy, no lead is safe for the Indiana Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton hits that, what he thought was a three. which, boy, you had to know. He had to be so disappointed that wasn't a three. Because they have to go out there in overtime, Tone. Now it's tied, and you did the choke sign, the Reggie Miller choke to the crowd. It's like, man, you better win that game. You better close that out. And I didn't realize that Aaron Nesmith was just going to go delirious.
Yeah, well, he had what looked to be a Eastern Conference Finals game one winner. Kevin Harlan called it a winner as it was going through. And it was one of the remarkable scenes at MSG that, like, we grew up with these crazy, crazy scenes at that venue. I know people get mad about talking about that venue like it's some...
the mecca of basketball.
Yeah, like it was always... it bothered me, too. It always bothered me because I never understood it. I had never been there until after college. And my whole life, all people talked about was how that place was just different. Mm. But they weren't good. They hadn't been good for so long. And then to have that moment punctuated with this crazy comeback, they thought they had won it. Reggie Miller is on the call, quite literally on the call, and it's all harkening back to the days of Reggie Miller pulling off that insanity against them with the, what, 9 points in how many seconds?
Like 16 seconds,
Something crazy with the steal.
Not to be confused with the 25-point fourth quarter he had the previous year.
So at the end of this, he hits the buzzer beater. It ties it. He thinks it's a three, but they did the replay at a toe on the line. They mobbed him at the court, and he's doing the choke sign. And innocuously enough, Mitch is shaking his head already. All right, Mitch, let it ride, man. Let it ride.
I scaled it back a bit because he did say in the post game, which we might play later, that since he thought it was a three, he did it. I still think it's one of the corniest. I still think it's one of the corniest celebrations moving to the playoffs in the last 5 years.
I think it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
How is it corny?
First of all, the way the shot goes in, it's the luckiest bounce he could possibly get off the back iron. And then
it's members bounce. He owns the place.
And the second thing, to immediately go right to it when you get... I mean, again, when he thought he had the victory, that's one thing. But I initially had thought that when he had tied the game, I'm like, you still have a quarter of basketball to play, buddy. Get this done. Or like you said, you're going to have to be suffering the consequences.
But he didn't know that. He didn't know that's when it went down.
That's what I meant. I added that disclaimer.
You got another quarter of basketball to play, mister. You better focus. You're upset about that.
I'm just frustrated about this whole process of the Indiana Pacers of the last couple of weeks, how they went from the team that nobody would have thought would have made any sort of long playoff run. Now they're starting to look like the team that everybody's really talking about as like who could be the team to win the overall finals. And just this whole process of Tyrese Haliburton going from a guy who was good, like really, really good. Now he's a genuine super. I called him a fake superstar at one point. Now he's a real superstar.
Boy, this is some, I don't understand what this pan up anger with the Pacers. I mean, they play in Indianapolis.
I mean, they just beat the Cavaliers in five games. One of the best Cavs seasons ever.
I'm more mad at the Cavs than I am at the Indiana Pacers.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. I'm not really mad at them. Like, I was watching, I know Miles Turner just got shut off like a faucet in the second half, but I'm watching that going, man, I like that guy. That guy's a lot of fun. I'd like to see him. Like, do you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're saying that's one of the corniest celebrations ever. That is.
Well, there's only one way to find out where it stands.
Yeah.
Here you go. Rank your corniest celebrations of the last 5 years, Mitch.
Number one is Jason Tatum's.
Yes.
We did it.
Yes, you
number
had to two, have Jason one. Tatum in there.
Number two is probably Tyrese. And then number three is probably Jason Tatum recreating the Kobe photo.
Yeah, Tatum last year was right. All sorts of embarrassing.
He tried to do the KG, anything is possible.
So, and then he didn't win finals MVP, and then he didn't play in the Olympics.
So Tatum, Haliburton, Tatum?
Sure.
Boy, owning two of the top three spots. Yeah. Congratulations to Jason Tatum.
Well, now I got to know. Who are your top three corniest NBA players?
We got
number one, Jason Tatum. There's got to be worse guys than Haliburton for two and three, but I can't think of them right now. Brooks is up there.
Damn it, I was going to say it to him.
Who are the Cavs' least favorite opponents right now, individually, other than Brooks? That's what I'm trying to think of.
I don't not get themselves. What?
I'm struggling to think of like the third one. I'll come back to you with that one.
Jared Allen?
Oh, jeez.
According to someone might have on later.
Oh, boy. I bet some people would say Kevin Durant.
I'm kidding.
I
Here we go. Top three biggest haters of the Cavs. Number one, Ken Carpenter.
Oh.
Keep going.
I don't hate him. I'm just mad at him. There's the difference. You got to love something to hate it, though.
LeBron's been called corny by a bunch of people.
He just reads the first page of books. That's the worst thing.
That is corny, though. That is real corny. If you don't read books, don't act like you read
made
books.
A commercial about
you
it.
Don't need to sit there and he did. I didn't see that. If you don't read books, don't read books. Don't act like you read books. I read like a book a year. We had a whole book club that one day, that one last summer.
Phil Steele's book does not count
not
as a
Phil
book
Steele
a year.
Phil Steele marks it up.
No.
The Beast does not count as a book a year.
I'm reading a book called Welcome to the Jungle Inn. Thank you very much.
About which 1960s college football coach
it is
this?
Not about a 1960s college football coach. Thank you very much. It is about a gambling den in Youngstown. Thank you very much.
Can you imagine if
Murray, very close to the deer?
Can you imagine if Murray Warmoth,
the antelope killer,
somehow there was
someone's got to keep his memory alive. That's a national champion. Someone's got to keep his memory alive. Tone, damn it, I'm gonna be the one to do it.
I thought that was one of the coolest moments. The fact that it wasn't a game winner,
but Murray Warmoth.
Last night, that way that Halliburton dribbled into the paint. Then
I thought that was awesome. I can't believe Mitch is upset about that.
On a dime, he then dribbled back out to the three-point line, contorts his body, shoots it, thinks he won the game. So did Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
The place is so stunned.
Kevin's was great. I was not listening to Kevin, though. I was listening to this.
I'd like to know if they were at the game or doing it
from Korea.
Yeah, because if they were at the game, they would have gotten punched in the face.
That audio is courtesy of Korean TV.
SPO TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already Saturday night.
Find out if they were on remote, because there is no doubt if they were like, imagine if they were courtside and doing that. I mean, Larry David.
Oh, they're just,
and John Hamm, who were sitting courtside, would have strangled them.
They're just in an internet cafe in downtown Seoul.
That's amazing. I loved it so much.
Was it distracting to see Larry David in the purview of the TV the entire game? I could not stop watching him.
Really?
I'm missing basketball because I'm looking at Larry David just waiting for hilarity to ensue.
Keith still has to get a hold of him. I just wanted to find out the one thing about the one character that happens to have my name.
Says your name.
In the Curb Your Enthusiasm. Is that season? So which season is it?
It was like two seasons ago.
Yeah. Was it with Mocha Joe? Yeah. I think it was during the Mocha Joe season.
Yeah.
And he says Ken Carmen.
Yes.
One of the characters' names is Ken Carmen, and he is known for listening to sports talk radio.
So like 2017, 2018, somewhere.
Because I remember, I was still wondering if Andy Roth was pulling my leg, because Andy's like, because he calls in, Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld have like called into Steve Summers, who's a legendary voice in WFAN. And so the guy listens to it, and that was when we were on CBS Sports Radio, so I was imagining... Or I wasn't imagining. Andy Roth basically put the idea in my head, and then off we went. And Keith still has not been able to get, of all the guy who gets everybody, he got James Caan.
Mm-hmm.
He got James, that's right, he got James Caan on the afternoon show. And we're still trying to get Larry David. Either way.
And Owen Hart.
There's another question. Humana. Tyrese Halliburton or Jalen Brunson? And the reason I asked, Pat Boyle, right before we went on the air, he's a big Knicks fan, which I got to tell you, I thought I was like, hey, I know a lot of Knicks fans. I might like them to win because I like my friends to win. I love when the Knicks lose because
it's incredible.
They win the second round against Boston and they're celebrating the streets. And like you got Pat Schrager and he's on ESPN and he's a positive guy and he's a likable guy, but he is like talking about this historical moment. I go, the second round is an historical moment? Really? Okay, it's your team, fine. And then they lose last night in Pat's state. This is one of the worst losses of my life. I'll be in seclusion. It's like, buddy, it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And he did say that he still picks the Knicks to win the series, and they have the best player in the series between both teams, meaning Jalen Brunson. And Owen's like, I don't know about that. And I sat here and I thought, I go, yeah, I still want to say Jalen Brunson is the better player, the best player in the series. Tone?
Well, what's just absolutely crazy is I would go through these rankings all the time about the point guards in the Eastern Conference and in the NBA, and where's Darius Garland? And this year, Darius Garland was ahead of Halliburton, and by the regular season standards, he was ahead of Brunson. And then these guys have just turned into completely different players, you know, in the playoffs. 31 points last night, 11 assists for Halliburton. Obviously, Brunson, 43 points. He did turn it over a ton, did have 7 turnovers, but they had the lead. They had the commanding lead. They had a 9-point lead with like 55 seconds left. Then they had an 8-point lead with 41 seconds left. And they totally squandered it. Totally disastrous. And I'm just sitting here watching this Halliburton play. To see a dude dribble straight
lost
in.
Lost the dribble.
Then he turns around, dribbles out, then starts to pivot. And you know who's on him? Mitchell Robinson, who blocked his shot earlier in the game, where he was even on the microphone saying, it's tough to get a shot off over him. Like, that's how long. Remember, he had no problem with Jared Allen.
No.
But Mitchell Robinson had blocked his shot earlier. And on this play, Robinson is closing. So the Knicks, you're thinking the best of both worlds. He's not angled in the right way. He's got to get the shot off. And the dude somehow gets the all-time bounce. Now, you said luck, right?
I thought it was luck,
Basketball players will say, shooters bounce. It reminded me of Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard against Philly. That ended up resulting in them winning a championship with Toronto.
It did bounce like 20 feet in the air. There's got to be some luck involved.
Right, that's not the normal shooter's bounce when you having sky up in the air high.
And Lyman, you notice this, and Owen notices this. The choke sign ain't just about the perceived three-pointer. It's that they were down by 9 with 50-something seconds left.
Well, and wasn't he staring over near where Reggie Miller would
I'm
be?
I'm sure he was.
Just as a nice tribute to Reggie, right? That's what that was.
Yes. Come on.
This is 3 heroic moments for Halliburton now in 3 successive series.
That's more than some of the top superstars in one career, let alone one playoff.
So you have to respect your elders. And Reggie Miller is one of his elders. He plays for the Pacers. I thought that was in that building. It was a great thing to do. It was a hell of a move. Even if it was premeditated, they was asked, right? You said he was asked if it was premeditated or not. This is Tyrese Halliburton on whether or not it was premeditated.
In the moment, I mean, I wasn't like plotting on it or anything. Everybody wanted me to do it like last year at some different point, but it's just got to feel right. If I would have known it was a 2, I would not have done it. I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then people might say I'm like aura farming, so I'm not, I don't plan on using it again.
I love that, so I don't care. I love it. I love it that you're thinking about it the entire time and you get the chance to use it. Like Big John Thompson, Manly Fieldhouse is closed. Fantastic. Love it. Happy.
It just sucks.
Good for the Pacers.
It sucks that I think these playoffs have been amazing. I think they honestly have been the best NBA playoffs in like, I don't know, at least 5 years. It seems like this is an all-time heater that this sport is on. It just sucks that the Cavs aren't part of it, right? I mean, I bet a lot of Cavs fans are like, I'm not watching any of this.
I don't know, man.
I'm not paying attention.
I've been the guest on a lot of networks. They're saying different about the playoffs, about the NBA.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. You make fun of me all the time for going on Dan Dockage's show, and obviously. By the way, you were the last person to be a guest on Dan Dockage, so I don't even want
to
hear it.
Even Dockage has to be loving this. This has to be pretty amazing.
I'm not trying to, like, this is what I hate. This is what I hate when you guys do this to me, is I've been watching all the baseball. See, Mitch gets it. Mitch is a baseball man. He's all Ohio. He knows what this is. It's like, yeah, you can't sit there. Don't act like Stephen Vogt doesn't think that this is a pivotal week for his baseball team. If they go out there and they lose out of 6-7 games this week, if they lose 5 of them, for crying out loud, like that could be it. You could be 10 games back depending on how it all shakes out. Good night. So, I'm freaking out about the Guardians. Everything's a freak out. No, I'm not freaking out. But you can't say that this isn't a week that you should be paying closer attention to. This should be a big week for us. If they do well, then we're right still back in the thick of things. But right now, you start out the week 5.5 games back of the Central Division, that could be a toughie. And then you threw me under the bus by acting like you didn't know the question I was asking, comparing the NFL football team to him. Because I thought
if you
were
to compare this team to a NFL franchise, who would you compare the Cleveland Guardians to?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question that I want to sell at you. I hate you so much. Not Matt Derry. Matt Derry's a great guy.
Are you looking in a mirror when you make that statement?
Mostly, yes. Not Matt Derry. I do hate Lima. Lima told a photographer from Fox 8 over the weekend that he hates me. And now I have to tell her that we don't really hate each other. Why would you tell Brittany that? What's your problem?
I like to keep him guessing.
You psycho. There's two people who may hate each other. At least one hates one more than the other. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Was this a flagrant foul that happened? The push down heard around the world that Mitch was at.
I mean, this was a type of behavior of why I won't watch a WNBA. I won't watch this.
That's why they're losing fans left and right.
Yeah, it's sad. David Stern would never allow this.
What did you see, Mitch?
Here's the play.
Here we go.
And look out. Caitlin Clark pushes Angel Reese, and Angel Reese gets right up into Caitlin Clark. Afterwards, has something to say as Clark walks away. And Angel Reese is still going after Caitlin Clark in the aftermath.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. The great Angel Reese, not very thrilled with Caitlin Clark. You were at this game, Mitch.
Yes.
How did it all go down?
Stuff nearly went down, yes, the other day when I saw the foul, which went from a regular foul to a flagrant one. Indeed. After a long replay.
Okay. And what did you think? Here's Caitlin Clark in the post game after this flagrant foul.
Let's not make it anything that it's not. It was just a good play on the basketball. I'm not sure what the refs saw to upgrade it, and that's up to their discretion after watching the initial whatever happened during the play and then whatever happened after. We watch a lot of basketball. It's a take foul to put them at the free throw line or rather give up 2 points. You know, I've watched a lot of basketball in my life. That's exactly what it was. I wasn't trying to do anything malicious. That's not the type of player I am. And I went for the ball, and that's clear as day in the replay. You watch it. You know, it shouldn't have been upgraded, but again, that's up to the ref's discretion.
Did you guys speed that up, or did she... Is she talking that fast?
We got that right from the Fever press conference.
Well, you know what? As a person who has been defensive before, hosting with you-know-who over here, and starting to speak quickly, is all I'm going to say. It's great for basketball. It's great for the WNBA.
Was that the coach that was talking at the beginning, or our PR person?
There was a bit of a mix because they had the coach, they had Caitlin, they had Aaliyah Boston right next to her, and Boston was surprised that she received a technical on that play. They were having a laugh about it right before Clark came in and was like, "Hey, let's not make this a big deal."
Okay. So describe the pandemonium in the arena.
That arena with Gainbridge Fieldhouse is like a giant pit. They build it kind of like underground where the floor is so that you have this giant wall of Fever fans that night, Pacers fans last week, just raining in on the sky, particularly Angel Reese on that first free throw that she shot after the flagrant one, which she missed. The fans were just going crazy with just showering her with booze. It was nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching it. She's clearly trying to get, you know, semi-physical, but also, you know, she tries to strip at that ball. It's the landing. It's the way that Angel Reese went down. And I saw people accusing Angel Reese of taking a dive.
Flopping?
In this case.
Is it a flop?
I
saw this. I didn't think it was a flop. I think she just got shoved down, and then she got really mad that she got shoved down. That's what I thought would happen. If you disagree, fine. You're Mr. Basketball. You tell me, Tone. Because I think
part of it is Caitlin Clark, the look on her face as Angel Reese is going down to the ground, kind of was like, I'm going to give her one here. Now, but you look at it from the other angle, it doesn't look like Caitlin Clark hits her all that hard at all. So the one angle, it's like, oh, yeah, that kind of looked like a cheap shot. Then I look at the other angle, and I'm like, I don't know.
I think it's great for
the
basketball.
But the look from Caitlin Clark,
the reaction was from the Angel best part. Reese.
Yeah.
I thought Angel Reese was going to hit her, which, I mean, that would have been, what do they call it, the field house? Fisticuffs in the field house.
Yeah.
Not malice in the palace, obviously. That's in Auburn Hills, and that's torn down.
How would you feel about the WNBA if it had... their two of their most famous players get into a literal fist fight.
So
would that gain respect or lose it?
Stand at the money machine and wait for all the money to come.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would it be?
There's more money for us.
People like to say all the time.
Caitlin Clark is you are getting to live what your fathers and grandfathers lived in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, when NBA basketball became a household thing, right? Because it wasn't that before then.
Yeah.
It wasn't a household sport. You're getting to live that right now with Caitlin Clark.
But
she's by far way better than everyone else.
Yeah, but you know, like the broadcasters, who's doing play-by-play? We just had him on last week doing the play-by-play of that game.
Is that Rocco?
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. That's Ryan Rocco. Yeah. And if he said this game has been marred by an unfortunate event, I look at it by thinking, well, first of all, people love.
That would have made it even better if he said that.
Yep, because he has. That makes it
seem like it's even bigger than it is, because at some point it will become as big as they make it.
But about the children? What about the children?
That's just great. Good.
Let's teach our
daughters to shove each other.
Yeah, do I want my daughters going to war like that?
No, but is this not the logical next step, that there would be a rivalry between the two going after each other? And that's what makes it
fun.
I mean, we have to call it what it is. I think Angel Reese is the biggest example of college basketball to pro basketball, because she was elite in college basketball. And here, it's like, you got to work on some things.
Is it a great experience?
It was a cool experience.
Yeah,
we might try it again because they're doing it. They're going to be back in town in September. We might go again.
And you wore a Strasburg Tigers hat. You tried to remain as neutral as you could.
I was as neutral as possible.
You have to go to Chicago, Mitch. It's only an extra, it's probably 30 more minutes.
I'd like to go to Chicago. This one's back in Indy again.
You got to go see him. You got to see him in each.
He's a big
building.
Indianapolis guy. He saw Hoosiers.
He's known for.
Did everybody have a Caitlin Clark jersey?
John Cougar Mellencamp.
A lot of people did. My friend had one. He was also wearing a Cavs hat, and a police officer stopped him. He's like, "How are you going to wear a Cavs hat and a Caitlin Clark jersey?" And I told him 3 minutes before someone was going to say something.
And it happened to be a cop, so you couldn't say anything back.
Well, he was patrolling. Yeah, he's cop patrolling the street. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Big Indiana fan, Mitch is.
Not after last week.
No. Thank you for the time. What time do you wake up?
Right now, about 4:35.
Okay. Bring that up for a very specific reason here in a moment. Also, there's video of Nick Chubb working out, running the hills, and doing whatnot. You've seen this. You would like to comment on it. Go right on ahead. And his off-season, Nick Chubb's off-season tone.
Yeah.
What do you want to say about Nick Chubb?
I'm watching this video, and he is running angry.
Are we watching the same thing at the same time?
This is the Dove Kleinman. That's where I saw it. And I sent it to the group, and I saw a bunch of people said, I'm back in. Browns made a mistake. And then there was an undercurrent of people talking about his size.
He looks big. I'm not saying he looks fat. Stop it. He looks like a linebacker. He looks like, did he put on even more muscle?
I don't know. That's the other thing. It's tough without the pads and without all that stuff.
Like, this guy looks like Lorenzo Neal right now. He moves a lot better than Lorenzo Neal still. No offense to Lorenzo Neal, who we've had on the show.
Does he rhyme as good as Lorenzo Neal?
Mm-mm. I bet not. I mean, this is Larry Vickers right here. This is a big guy.
Yeah, and he's cutting. He's trying to get upfield. Now, it's impossible for us to know because we don't see other videos of him without the pads.
Would he take a fullback role? 216?
Is he like
Natron means?
Can you tell? Is he slower than in the past?
Okay. I did expect to see a little quicker. So, you know, I'm not being nasty here. It's been two injuries, one very obviously significant. I did expect him to be a little quicker when the video was posted. There's definitely something like you were in love. You immediately fell back in love. So if you want to bring him back.
Well, we just hadn't
seen
him.
You know I'm not against it.
You know, him just doing basically squatting and that stuff. You can't tell anything football-wise out of that stuff.
Mm-mm.
Now you're actually seeing some football. Now no one's trying to tackle him. They're throwing these
bags at him and whatnot.
How can you tell if he looks fast enough, though, in these videos?
He's going up a hill.
He is going up a hill.
So I imagine if he was going down the hill, he'd look a hell of a lot faster than he does already. But if he's going on regular ground, I bet he'd look faster than this.
God, he looks like if you were standing in his way by accident and he just kind of knocked into you,
he tried
to hurt you, yeah. It looks like you would be hurt.
He's a big, strong man. Good head on
his shoulders. This would be terrifying seeing him come at you.
So him going uphill, I mean, there's some stupidity in the comments about him being cooked and things like that. I don't think that. He's dealt with serious injuries in his late 20s.
That actually looked kind of bad. He's moving like he's too full.
I didn't want to...
Them cuts a little slower.
Well, they wrote that he was hungry. He looks hungry. That's why they wrote that he was too full, this person.
He looks terrible. Looks slow, unfortunately.
He doesn't look terrible.
This is better than them Zeke videos. This did not look appealing. He also looks out of work, hungry for a paycheck.
Okay, stop it.
He cooked, bro. He moving slow.
Well, stop reading stupidity on the internet.
All right.
Thank you. Also on the internet.
He is favoring his injured knee.
So you wake up at... No, who the hell said that? How the hell do they know that?
It's right there. Lenny Patierno, 79 or bust.
Play this. This is from Shiloh Sanders' podcast. This is Deion Sanders. You wake up at 4:30, right?
Yeah.
I wake up at 3:10. What time did you wake up this morning, Owen?
3:37.
Each of us, if we were in shape, Deion Sanders would hang out with us and we could play for Deion Sanders. But if you just woke up, I'm sorry, he has no use for you.
If your man sleeps past 7 a.m., leave him.
You said leave him?
Leave him. Unless he's on the night shift. Any man who sleeps after 7 is not a man.
Ooh. I wake up every day at 7 now.
You're supposed to wake up at 6. It's about a rapper's life. You know, you're trying to live a rapper's life. I'm the one that wake the rooster up to remind him to say cock-a-doodle-doo.
You're trying to live a rapper's life.
They are always talking about that in their rap lyrics. About it's 7 a.m. and I'm just getting out of bed.
So that's late to them?
I will say, of course, the older I have gotten.
That's what the Kendrick and Drake thing was all about.
Yeah, the what time they hit their alarm clock. Their old cartoon-like alarm clock. So with all the Mickey Mouse-looking alarm clock. So I will say that before this job, I didn't get up till 9:30.
Yeah,
10.
But I gotta be careful. I say this. No woman would have you then.
That's true. And I was watching NBA till 2 in the morning and all that and doing God knows what. I know
the things you were doing till 2 in the morning.
In and on the shift.
Yeah, but, it might have been an NBA game on in the background, but you were doing other things. Don't sit there and say you were watching NBA.
I have to say, the more and more people I've gotten a chance to talk to as I've matured and gotten older, Deion is absolutely right. There aren't many successful people in this world that are waking up late. It's just not happening. They're maximizing their day. They're getting the most, whether it's working out. I cannot believe how many people, when I'm leaving to come here, are already running outside, are already getting their runs in. It's staggering to me how many people optimize their day with workouts starting at 5, 4:30 or 5.
There is a CrossFit place that I pass every day. They're awful. And if I'm late, they are all, there's a line of them.
Yes.
Running down and back.
And I just,
flipping tires.
I know you guys know somebody in crypto who's making money. It wakes up at noon every day. Okay. I think that's more the anomaly. The more successful people I've met in life. And if that's what you're going for, meaning.
What about Winston Churchill? Yeah. He woke up at 10:30.
Did he really?
And then he had a scotch.
Yeah. And then he drank whiskey. Just thinking, just telling you, smoked a bunch of cigars.
Then he got into a bath and had another scotch.
Yeah, then he had more drinks.
You know what? That's when they were dealing with all plumbers back then.
But that is...
Competition fair. Wasn't as stiff.
That is one. That is one that you can think of off the top of your head.
He had a T-bone for breakfast and a scotch.
Current president sleeps 4 hours a night.
Yeah,
wakes up at 5, something like that.
And you believe it because he's watching the news. Yeah. He's tweeting about it.
He's posting on social media.
I 100% believe that. Now, does it have to be Mark Wahlberg? Does it have to be 4?
I don't believe it.
3 a.m.?
I don't believe him. I just don't believe Mark Wahlberg.
Or who's the guy? Who's the guy that ran a marathon a day or something? Go on Rogan.
If you...
That total freak. That guy was unbelievable.
John Tellett?
Yeah, that's it. Hold on. Mitch just had it.
Who was it? David Goggins?
Or, JT, John Tellett. Yeah, it's Goggins, though. You don't have to do that. That's a little drastic.
I feel if you brag about your schedule, I don't necessarily believe your schedule.
Yeah, do you think you're more prone to lying?
The guy who says, I actually live 4 days every day. I wake up and it's 6 a.m. That's a new day.
The person who has entrepreneur in their title, in their bio, and talks about how they wake up, time to rise and grind and all that stuff. I go, yeah, you're running something there. There's something in the form of a triangle that I don't necessarily believe in what you're doing. Some may call it a pyramid.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.